Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Walking Dead series by The Verdict's Inn. I'm your host, Nicole.
I'm Gary.
And today we are talking about Fear the Walking Dead, Season 3, Episodes 15 and 16, the season finale. Episode 15 was titled Things Bad Begun, written by Jamie O'Brien and directed by Andrew Bernstein, who have both worked on Fear in the past. And then Episode 16 was titled Slay Ridge, who written by Dave Erickson and Mark Richard, also directed by Andrew Bernstein again. They've all worked on Fear. Gary, what did you think of the season finale?
It was just okay. It was not exciting. In fact, it was a little bit of the same old, same old. We got a new villain, but I mean, I have a lot of questions about that also. I mean, this dude just had surgery, and now he's there, see walking through the town and stuff.
Like
taking
people hostage.
Yeah, he's on his feet, running, jogging. But yeah, this episode was nothing special.
All right, so I'm going to a little bit of just disagree with you. When we first watched, I believe we watched it Sunday night. Yes. Did we watch it Sunday night? Yes, we watched it Sunday night. But as I said, I went out of town, so we weren't able to podcast until pretty much now. I enjoyed the first episode, which I always do. And I keep saying Fear does not need to do two-hour season finales. So I really, they need to push it out another week or something. Because I really enjoyed the first episode, episode 15. A lot of stuff happened there. I think that's when Madison killed Troy, you know.
Right.
Strand shot Daniel. I mean, so much happened in that episode. So I enjoyed it. And then episode 16 still had some cool things, but it kind of slowed me down. And it's hard to watch 2 hours of Fear. It just is. So either cut it down to an hour and a half or switch it to two different episodes on two different weeks. But
well, when you watch it the second time, you watch one episode one day, the next episode the other day.
Yeah.
So how'd you feel about them both that time?
At that time, I was still biased because I still was like, I liked episode one, the first one better. Episode 15 better still.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So if this is your first time listening, we have our likes, our dislikes, and then any listener letters, and then award and prediction. All right, first on the likes list, and we actually have some disagreements, as always, on our list of likes and dislikes, so we'll go over them when we get there. So when it starts off and we get Nick, like, cutting the heads off and, like, what they're using it for, I don't know, I thought it was very interesting, like, because in this world where they're at wherever Nick is at, that place where the trading post.
Yeah, the trading post, yeah.
We don't have anything like that in Walking Dead, like, where people are, like, doing drugs. I mean, unless you count Negan's little sanctuary area.
Well, it's not the same.
It's definitely not the same. So these people are like just living life. Like they've adapted to the situation.
Right.
There's doing drugs. I'm pretty sure there's prostitution.
There was.
I love this world. So seeing that they're actually cutting the heads off and like whoever decided we can use the stem from the walker and it may be able to be used as a drug. Like, I just thought that was very interesting.
You know what? Addict would try anything.
Yeah.
Would try anything. They'd take the stem out. Like, you know what? Let me just go ahead and eat this.
Yep. How would you even think of doing that? So.
But I guess I like this. And I liked it only because this reminded me of The Strain. Where, you know, you had I can't think of the guy named the older guy.
Yeah, on The Strain. So I forgot his name. But
right.
He would put the white in his eye.
Yes.
Or his mouth. I think he put it in his mouth to make him, like, he's 95 years old, but he really looks 70. And it's because he's been taking this to keep him stronger and keep him young.
Right. So the thing that could kill you, he was using it to keep him younger.
Right, right.
So this was somewhat on that level. Like, you know, this right here could kill you. You're eating a dead walker. But, I mean, it's giving you the ultimate high.
Right. Yeah, that was pretty cool. All right, so this one, I don't think you liked it as much, but the Alicia car crash with Diana, which we did not see her for the rest of the episode, pretty much after her surgery, so I don't know if she's dead now or if she's alive back at the hospital still, but that car crash and the fighting scene were amazing. Like, the car crash came out of nowhere. The fighting scene was pretty badass. I know you call into question, I believe we have on our dislikes, as far as how Diana got hurt, but other than that, I enjoyed that scene.
I thought the scene was okay. It was just put in there in the middle of nowhere. Like, all of a sudden, the big truck knew they were coming, hit them perfectly, and then they got out, and Alicia's just whooping ass. I mean, it was like Alicia been fighting for years.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when I was watching, I'm like, hold up. So these guys been out here just as long as she have. But, I mean, this reminds me of the superhero and villain method, that the superhero is going to always win. The person that you're rooting for, the person who show it is going to always make the villain look like they're just some kind of sidekick.
Right.
And that's exactly what happened. Alicia and what is the girl name she's with?
Diana.
Diana got in the car whooping ass. These guys didn't stand a chance. I mean, there's like Shredder sent his foot soldiers.
Yeah.
To fight the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, I know.
So I didn't care too much for that.
All right. No, I do get it, because it seems like if they had this planned out, they would have not had everyone in the car with them. Like, they would have had people on the side of the road to be able to attack as well. Because they all should be dazed and confused from the accident, especially Alicia and them, since they weren't expecting it.
Well, they had a big Mack truck, so.
Okay.
They probably didn't feel it.
All right. Now, next, I like when Alicia and the doctor were talking about, like, the Odyssey and the Bible, and they're like, you know, how long will all of this stuff be forgotten? And that's just a very important question, because kids like Carl and kids like baby Judith, like, they're not going to grow up learning the same stuff. I mean, we see Carol has taught the kids, but they're probably not teaching them the same thing. So, like, all these important stories are just stories that everyone read when they were kids, the Romeo and Juliet, you know, they're not going to learn those stories. They're probably going to learn the basics, how to read, how to write, and that's it. So I loved hearing that conversation, like, how long to all this stuff that's so important to the world or so known, such as the Bible, will be forgotten.
Right.
All right. Next is Daniel questioning Troy's intent. I actually like this, but this you have as a dislike. So, like,
it's a dislike.
When he can start calling, like, when Troy and them came to tell him, hey, the proctors are coming, I'll help set up the bombs and, you know, the C4. And Daniel's like, who the hell are you? Are you a college kid? I just love that whole conversation. Like, him, like, being suspicious of Troy automatically. But for some reason, you did not.
I didn't like that. He didn't know Troy. He don't even know the backstory of Troy. He doesn't know anything that really happened at the ranch at this point. So he just see a guy and automatically, that's the one. He has something to do with it. That was completely bullshit. I think Daniel was an asshole in that moment. I mean, I can understand you being upset. Your daughter just died. But be mad at the people that you know that she knew that was around her. Not just a random person that just happened to come along. I mean, you treated him like he's a suspect automatically. He don't know if he was there.
Well, I think maybe he treated him like suspect because, like, Troy just seems so open to help. Like, oh, I'll do this. Hey, the people are coming. I'll help with the C4. And he was probably who the hell is this guy?
So did Walker when Walker came. Walker volunteered information. Hey, Daniel, can I talk to you?
Okay.
So it's the same situation, except he wasn't suspicious of Walker.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I liked it. Maybe I liked it because I know Troy is suspicious.
Yeah, we know.
So...
we know what happened, but at that moment, Daniel didn't. He could have came from the outpost.
All right.
Nick could have met him along the trip.
Yeah, he could have never been at the ranch.
All right, Daniel didn't know.
All right, so Nick to Strand, when he said, so you sold your friends out for water, and now I blew your con. I like Nick saying that to Strand. Like, oh, this is what's actually happened.
Yeah.
That was funny.
That was, and Strand was acting like the victim the whole time.
Yeah, Strand acted like he was doing them a favor. Like, hurry up and get out of here. People are coming. Yeah, because you brought them here.
You invited them.
Yes, you told them all how to get in here. Come on. There's no, I mean, I can forgive Strand eventually because I think what he thinks he's doing is like, okay, this is the only way. But he's still wrong. Like, he was dead wrong in this situation.
Yeah, he was dead wrong. He said they were coming regardless. As I recall, he went looking for them.
Yeah. He don't know if they were coming regardless. Maybe yes, eventually, but you don't know what was going to happen.
But we know what he was going to get out of it. He's going to get to run the post.
Yeah.
He's going to be
in charge.
Yeah, get to be the man that he always wanted to be.
And it doesn't really seem like they would have kept up their end of the bargain anyways, so who knows if he would have really been able to run the post.
Right.
All right, so Daniel locking the door on Nick when he is about to torture him, and I really, really was hoping it was going to get to that. Like, I was all for it. I was like, when Daniel went and locked that door, I was like, oh my gosh. I was excited. Like, that's why I really loved this first episode. It was really good, and I got excited and I was scared at the same time for Nick, but I enjoyed that part.
Again, I thought this part was stupid. I mean, with all the stuff that's going on, that you have to kind of protect yourself because people are coming. This is what you choose to do at this moment. I mean, your daughter is dead. There's no bringing her back. You got to protect what's there in front of you at this moment. And he chose this time to be kind of petty, or you chose this time to play investigator. You don't have time for that.
Right.
I mean, that was just put in the wrong spot for me. I can see after everything is over with, you know, we win. The people didn't make it in. Now let's talk about it. Let's talk about what really happened. But in the midst of war, you trying to interrogate people, what really happened? Yo, your daughter's dead. That's what really happened. It doesn't matter what happened. But before or after, she's dead.
Right. I mean, I see what you're saying, but Daniel, you know, he's thinking with his emotions. He's moving with his emotions. And yes, his daughter is dead. So right now, that's what's important to him, is finding out how did she die? Like, what happened? Could this have been prevented?
You could also say, could this takeover have been prevented? If he wasn't so focused on his daughter, could he have caught Strand earlier? Could he have been down there to see, okay, why is this going to reverse? The water going to reverse a little sooner?
Yeah.
So it's his job to protect the place, but he didn't do his job. And especially at a time where he knows people are coming. It's his job to be security like any other day, like every day. But today you know that there's actual threat coming.
Okay, why was the water going the opposite way? I still never got that.
Because Strand pumped it in backwards so the people could have a way in to walk in the tunnel.
Oh.
So he was pulling the water back.
Okay.
To get him a clear entrance.
Okay. All right, next on the dislike or the likes list is when Madison kind of had to tell Troy about himself. And I really appreciate this. So Troy, he's talking about the people, the natives there. And he's saying, these people are different. You know, they never really knew freedom. And Madison lets him know, like, hey, we're guests in this country. And I appreciate that because, one, Madison, she doesn't ever seem to do the right thing. And that was the right thing. And then, two, it just shows you how racist Troy is. Like, I hate when people from other countries, especially including ours, thinks that their way of life is just the best way. It's the right way. And that's how he was sounding. Like, they never knew real freedom. How do you know you never knew real freedom?
Right.
I'm pretty sure there's people right now looking at the U.S. and they're probably like, man, those people are, they're not free. Or they don't have the freedom we have. So by him thinking that his way of life and that, oh, poor these people, they never knew real freedom. And
his quality of living was so much better.
Yeah, it was just so racist and so rude. And I'm glad that Madison said something to him about it.
Right. But I'm glad he said it. You know, he remained Troy.
He remained Troy to the very end.
Because if they would have changed him altogether, like he's just a good guy, I would have a lot of questions.
Well, to me, I don't know if I put it on the list, but to me, they sort of did. Like him, he's just walking around not crazy anymore. He's walking around making sense, spying and listening to other people. He was able to, you know, listen in, knew the proctors were coming, was able to go warn Nick, like, that wasn't the Troy before. The Troy before seems like he would just been too, you know, towards the end when he had the hurt coming, he was just too out of his mind to do anything normal. So I think they did change him just a little too much, in my opinion.
Well, you gotta understand, when the hurt was coming, he was out there for a while without food, without water, so without sleep.
Right.
So he was out of his mind.
Okay. That is fair, because he wasn't as crazy before then.
Right. And sometimes people are very crazy until they meet crazy. And I've seen this happen, like, in real life. Like, you know, the person that just the bad kid in class, acting up, doing all that crazy stuff. And then when we got around older kids, and there was another crazy kid, but he's older, bigger. Then he make this person right here look calm now.
Right, right.
So it happens. And plus, you know, he got a taste of drugs. He got a taste of what real crazy was. And Nick showed him that.
Yeah, especially showing Nick put all the blood on him and just go up and walk with the walkers. He's like, oh, shit. Like, it scared him. It scared him to straight. All right, Madison killing Troy as he tried to justify why he brought the herd to the ranch. I just love that. Like, he's like, I had to, you know, whatever he was explaining and, like, trying to sound all philosophical about it. boom, when she hit him, and then boom, hit him again.
I was disappointed that she got to play executioner and judge, or judge and executioner.
Why? Who would you have wanted to do it?
At this point, I mean, I really didn't want to see that. I wanted to see where this new Troy went to.
I was okay with it. My only problem with it is, like, that's what sent you over. Like, he tried to, like, kill you in your sleep. He's done so much stuff.
Well,
he killed
Gretchen's
family.
Well, you keep saying what he's done, but what have she done? She did the same thing.
Well,
she let Walker into their community.
Yeah, but that was when they made a deal. Jake was part of that deal of Walker coming to their community.
But she had a back deal with Walker. Jake didn't know about the back deal.
What, the father being killed?
The father being killed, head cut off, all this other stuff. He didn't know that when they came to the community, they would have complete control over the guns and everything.
She was a part
of the plot that made them prisoners in their own community.
I don't think that was part of the plot of her getting him the guns. I think it ended up playing out that way, but I don't think that was, like, said behind the scenes.
Well, but you could say that she did it for a reason. That she made a little back deal, side deal. Okay, we go ahead and kill him, bring this together. She has something to gain. So, in so many ways, she's like a strand.
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, maybe. Strand, yeah. I mean, yeah, I was going to say Strand is for selfish reasons, but yeah, so does Madison a lot of the time.
Yeah, she did it for a selfish reason.
But all I'm saying is this is what made you kill him. And it's really because, once again, you kill him for selfish reasons because your home was gone. It was not that other people died, I don't think. I think it's because the home you had planned to live in was now gone.
Right. And it wasn't even her home.
Yeah.
It was his home.
Right. All right, so when Nick talks to Madison later, pretty much right after this, he goes, you think you might have to kill me too if you have no choice? Like, he's kind of like Bader and like, what's going to make you kill me next? Like, what will happen? And I like this, and even though we don't know what happens at the end as far as the rest of the cast goes, only Madison we know is alive, I do wonder if this is foreshadowing that eventually Madison will try to kill Nick or Nick have to kill Madison.
Yeah, it will come to that. Probably next season.
Yeah, I don't know if they played out so soon. Maybe they might do it in like a season 5 or something. And then call back to season 3, but who knows. Alright, so Strand is too funny. When he had shot Daniel, he was talking about it later. He's like, shooting Daniel is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. We were dying laughing. Like, Strand, like, and he really meant it. He's like, that was the worst thing that's ever happened to me. It was so funny. It was so Strand. Like, he's so wrong. I mean,
like, it was just a good day for Daniel.
Yeah, like, damn, I had to do this. Like,
why'd you make me do this to you, Daniel?
Right.
Worst day of my life.
So, after Daniel shot in the face, him killing those 3 bad guys when he's, like, all leaning over, like, hurt, and then he, like, shoots all 3 of them, execution style, I really enjoyed that scene.
Yeah, that was a good scene.
And then Walker and Crazy Dog helping Nick on the bridge. That was cool, which I kind of call bullshit only because Proctor was still trying to bait Nick. And I'm like, okay, you know someone's shooting at you guys. Like, 2 shots just came in and people died.
Right. He didn't seem scared enough.
Yeah. And it was like, okay.
He wasn't really trying to protect himself.
Yeah. He kept still talking to Nick about it.
He had his people go look down the bridge this way and some other look down the bridge the other way. But damn, there's a sniper. Somebody's
right.
Shooting.
So I didn't like that part of it. But other than that, I did like that Crazy Dog and Walker were still there and they were helping.
Yeah. Well, they said they would.
So we'll see where they go next year. If we'll see them again. If we'll see Luciana again, since we did see her in Madison's, like, weird, crazy dream with a baby, it did kind of make me say, could Luciana be pregnant? Could she have had a baby after she left? Nick has a little baby out there he doesn't know about.
Right.
That'd be very interesting. The fact that they had her with the baby in the dream.
But one thing about this dream, whose dream was it?
It was supposed to be Madison's dream.
So there's a lot of things off about it if it is Madison's dream. Like Jake getting his arm cut off. Like, Madden didn't know anything about that.
Well, I'm pretty sure they told her.
They told her that he was bit, we had to cut his arm off, and he didn't make it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure they all talked about what happened.
I don't know, because the only 2 that knew that happened was Troy and Nick.
Yeah.
And I don't think they had that conversation with Madison. Like, yeah, the herd got him. We tried to help him. I couldn't absorb him off. I don't see that conversation being had.
All right. I was okay with that.
I don't even remember them being together long enough to have any conversation. Because once Alicia left, Nick and Troy left with her. Then when they finally caught back up with each other at the trading post, Nick said, hey, I'm staying here. So I don't think she has all the details.
Yeah, well, okay, well, let's get to the dislikes. Because that whole Christmas storyline, except for maybe the Luciana thing, I did not like. Like, and that's why I probably did not like the second episode, because that's when they had that and they tried to bring people back. Like, I saw Travis's name when it first came on and I got excited, and then I realized, oh, it's in this stupid Christmas story. Like, I don't like when The Walking Dead tries to do stuff weird like that. Like, I think they did it last season by showing, like, Abraham and Glenn alive raising his baby. It's like,
I love that scene.
I don't know. I thought
that was a normal scene. When they show all of them alive, having dinner together. It wasn't nothing crazy in that scene. It wasn't like a Walker baby. It wasn't an arm getting cut off. Head.
In this case, this whole Christmas story was weird. And
it was weird as hell.
Yeah. It was like, I don't get it. I didn't like it. All right. Diana's hurt leg. You really did not like that part. In the car crash with Alicia. And you're like, how did she get her leg hurt that bad?
Oh, yeah. I hated that part. I hated it because during the fight, he hit her in the leg with a pole, and all of a sudden, her leg is like just broke. Bone coming out the like, how hard did he hit her with the pole? Or was that even a pole or a stick? But I don't know. I mean, that just wasn't believable. But you know, I didn't like that whole scene.
Yeah, I liked the scene, but when you called out to the leg, I was like, But I do wonder if she's still alive. Like, you know, because she didn't come to the dam with him, so she may still be alive
back might at the be.
Post or whatever.
Might be. You know, he has a lot of areas, so he says. But who does this remind you of?
What, Diana herself?
No. What's the guy with all the areas?
The Proctor?
The Proctor.
I don't know. Are you calling him like a Negan? A Neganite?
Yeah, he reminds you of Negan.
Okay.
Where, you know, he have all these posts, outposts here, posts there. He's, like, taking over. So, I wonder when they said, like, it's going to
cross over.
Are we going to get to see an early Negan? Was he a part of their team? Is this where he learned everything from?
Right. It's possible. We'll see. Yeah, I've been seeing different theories as far as, you know, Abraham could be in the crossover and all that. So, we'll see.
I think it's more likely that it'd be a Negan, because this guy isn't, you know, without the personality.
And he's on his way to Houston.
Right.
So, well, that's the South, where they are. They're in the South. Yeah. They let that be known several times. Houston. All right. You also, this is another dislike of yours. When they cut to Alicia and Diana at the hospital, you're like, wait, how did they get there? Like, yeah. You didn't like that part.
It was
part.
Like they got in a fight. Then commercial break, cut to, they're in the hospital.
Yeah.
And she's talking to him like, yeah, thanks for taking us in. Like, how did y'all even get there?
Yeah, how did you know there was a hospital? Like, how did you know where to go?
Or where did the guy find you at? I mean, that was just a bad scene. Not bad scene, but they should have had somewhere in there how this happened. How it got there in the first place. Did they run into him? Did he hear the gunfight and come out? Were there some of Proctor's men that tried to kill him?
Right.
Or was that a different group?
I think it was a different group, personally.
So it's a lot of questions about this. I just didn't like it.
All right, and then finally, Strand, when him and Alicia meet up, when the Proctor gets to the dam and Alicia's there, Strand slowly tries to talk to Alicia. He's like, I can get us out of this. I didn't like that. I'm like, Strand, you got us in this. Like, what do you mean you can get us out of this? Like, what are you talking about?
Just trust me. I get us out of this.
You sound just like him, yeah. Yeah, so I didn't like that part.
Dude, I don't trust you.
I don't trust you.
I just heard your conversation.
Right.
I mean, Strand, like I said, he played the victim the entire time. Where I could get us out of this. Oh, things are really bad here. Put this on. I'll get you out of here. This is bad for me. Yo, you know who caused this.
Right.
And you should have known that nothing ever works in his favor. Nothing ever works in your favor. And one thing I was saying about the killing, when he said he never killed anybody, I don't know if I talked about this last episode or just me and you talk about this.
Just you and I talked about it.
And I call bullshit on that. Because he did kill his boyfriend in Mexico. He gave him the pill, the poison.
I disagree. Because did the boyfriend take the pill himself? Or did Daniel put it in his mouth?
I don't know. I can't remember. But I know he was part of it. Like, he's supposed to give his boyfriend a pill. Then he's supposed to take the other one.
Yeah.
But he never took his.
I don't really consider that killing.
I mean, that's blood on your hands.
The boyfriend was going to die.
Yeah, he was going to die. But still, you helped him die faster.
All right.
I mean, he didn't, you know, he's not the one who started it. You know, yeah. He didn't bite him to infect him. But
I mean, I think it was more of like a doctor-assisted suicide, you know?
But still, at this time, it's still too early to know if he was going to die. Because remember, this is the beginning of the apocalypse right here. We don't know if there's a cure for it, if there's something that, you know, they could give him. At the beginning of the apocalypse, there was no info on this.
Yeah, but we know now that there is no cure.
I mean, we know now, but would Strand have known then?
I don't know. I mean, I see what you're saying. I think it's reaching. I think it is. I think it's reaching. I wouldn't have called that murder.
I call it murder. And now I'm calling bullshit on that whole situation. Now that I think about it. Because this was the beginning of the apocalypse. And it's like they just had asked information about it. Like, okay, you bit, you're dead. There's no coming back.
Well, I'm guessing at that time they knew you're bit, you're going to die. There may be a cure, but they don't have it. So, yeah, it's right now there is no cure. There's a lot of things in this world right now that we say there's no cure to. Eventually, we'll probably find a cure, but we're not going to say that 10 years from now we find a cure. Oh, my gosh, all those people. Like, yeah, at this time, there is no cure.
I had to put down all those people.
Yeah.
No, we didn't. Just because there's no cure to it don't mean we give them poison pills. We don't put them down.
Okay. I mean, yeah. I mean, not in real life, but in this case, that was like a for sure you're going to die.
Yeah.
All right. So now to our award and prediction. Who do you got for I Ain't Fearing Shit?
I Ain't Fearing Shit.
Last one of the season. What do you got?
Yes. I will have to give it to Nick. You know, Nick was ready to commit suicide for his family. He wrote a suicide letter, which he called it when he was about to set the bum off. And he was ready to go down with that ship. Once he set it off, he just stood there on the bridge and just looked out. It took Daniel to come tell him, hey, we got to go. So I like him. And then he stood up to his mother after his mother killed somebody. You know, after you see somebody kill someone, that's the wrong time to stand up to him.
Right. They're hyped from killing. They'll kill again.
Yeah. Yeah, they already had a taste of blood in their mouth. You know? You don't want to excite them at all.
Right.
But, you know, he stood up to his mother. And he just went all out. I mean, he kissed Strand on the cheek. Now, that right there, that's ain't fearing shit within itself. Because Strand, you know, been all greasy all the time. Right, sweating hard. Just, you know, I don't know.
I meant to bring that up. I did like that part because I thought they were in on it when he was hugging Strand that he was going to be taking the controller from Strand. But clearly, right. When Strand started talking shit and then he tried to pull the controller out and realized he didn't have it, I was like, oh, that was my
favorite scene. When Strand was talking shit like, yeah, yeah, but I have something you didn't think of. Right. Here, wait a minute. Wait. Hold on one second.
One second, let me check my back pocket. And then Nick goes, aha, you mean this? Yeah, I like that whole
part. Why did Nick wait to Strand get beat up a little bit before he pulled it out?
Nick took a long ass time, yeah.
He let Strand get a couple more hits before I do this.
Yeah, that was a good one. All right, I Ain't Fearing Shit. I'm going to have to give it to Nick as well. I like seeing this kind of this old Nick that we really loved in season one and maybe I think even season two. No, was it season one we really liked him, and then season two we weren't really feeling? Yeah, season two we didn't really like him, but season one we did. So I really like seeing this Nick, this take control. I liked it. I Ain't Fearing Shit, Nick.
Yeah.
All right, most likely to die, let's just say season four. We don't have to say episode one. Let's just say season four.
The people that's going to die in season four, now this is a tough one because I don't know how they're going to play it. I don't know if they're going to come back, you know, start back with rebuilding Daniel, because they could come back with Nick and Daniel together, rebuilding them, or if they have Alicia and Strand together and they're trying to build Strand back up. So it's hard to say right now, but just for a guess, I would probably say, oh, this is a tough one. I don't know.
I think everyone made it. Like, I think Nick made it. I think Daniel made it. I think Strand and Leisha made it. Strand and Leisha will probably be paired up together next year. But as far as who's going to die, just next year in general, I would love for it to be Madison, but clearly they're, like, her favorite. Like, they're not the director or the studios.
Clearly she's the star right now.
Yeah, she's the star. It's just only wishful thinking. It's not going to happen.
Which, so. I mean, nothing wrong with that. I mean, I actually like her character. I like her storyline. I don't actually like her character. But I guess that's a good show.
Yeah, so if anyone's going to die, I'm going to say probably Proctor will die. Proctor.
I don't see Proctor dying next season if he's truly the villain of villains, which he seems like he is. And he has so many outposts and so many people in places. Before Proctor die, I don't know. Let's go ahead and get rid of Daniel. He already has a hole in his cheek. And we've seen that when somebody get bit or something happened to somebody in a fear that they're dead. There's no bringing them back.
Yeah, Strand and Daniel both can't live. There's no way at this point for them both to live. Like, they would never, like, it's not like Daniel's going to be like, okay, I forgive you. So right. one of them has to die.
They can't cross paths again.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's going to be Strand. I think Strand is a fan favorite also.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, if I had to pick one over the other, I think Daniel's a stronger character. Like, he's so badass. But Strand, he's just kind of funny because he's just so clueless into, like, he thinks he's doing the right thing and he's really not.
I don't think he's clueless. I think he thinks he's smarter than everyone. Right. I think he thinks his con game is like on level 10.
Yeah,
and when it's like really on level two. Like 3 or something.
Yeah. He thinks he's a good con, but he's not. So
he needs to get out somewhere, you know, he just think, oh yeah, my con game is like powered up. It's like he just hit a mushroom on Mario.
Right.
It's big now.
So.
And then he ended up doing something stupid. Then after the fact, he looked crazy. He looked clueless.
All the time. All right, that is all we got, you guys. We appreciate you listening to us all season long. Be sure to leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. If you have not done so, we would greatly appreciate it. We will be returning for The Walking Dead. We'll be doing instant cast on that, so it comes back on tonight, the season premiere. It's also their 100th episode, so check us back out here. We can't wait to watch it. I mean, I haven't been watching as many trailers as I probably should have, but I'm just waiting for it. So we'll see what happens with King Ezekiel, Rick, and crew.
Right.
I'm excited to see them all.
I don't think I've seen any trailers.
You know, I've seen the trailers, but I haven't really watched it. And I'm not going to say I'm not as excited as I used to be, but in a way, I'm not as excited as I used to be. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean, I'm kind of excited to see them all back, you know?
Right.
So we'll see what happens there. All right, you guys. Thanks for listening. I'm Nicole.
I'm Gary.
Bye.